There are numerous sayings that are in popular use today, and they're spoken of in a myriad of different situations. Now, I don't know the percentage of those sayings which are correct, or those which are assumed to be correct, or those which are just plain wrong. However, it is a truism that the most often quoted authorities of "they say" and "everyone knows" are almost invariably wrong. Most of those facts from "they say" and "everyone knows" comes from what is called nowadays urban folklore. For example, there is an old saying that was quoted to me as a child: feed a cold and starve a fever. The only problem is that this particular saying is an abbreviation of a far older saying which goes as follows: feed a cold and you will soon starve a fever. The same words are contained in both of these sayings, but the only trouble is the second saying has more words in it and completely alters the meaning. Now, popular songs also play a part in bringing myth into common belief. There was a song made some years ago by Harry Belafonte, and it came out at the end of the year for that season of the year that we all think about occasionally, and we wish we didn't. And that song was called Mary's Boy Child. Now, one line from that song is a blatant lie, but people do believe that lie. And the first line goes, long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Like so many accepted beliefs, one could search the scriptures until the 12th of Never and still not find that particular statement, because it just is not there. Admittedly, the Bible does say that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and that Mary was his mother. But the Christmas Day part of it is part of the folklore, the urban folklore, which had been built up over the centuries around that particular situation. Another popular song that was from a little further back in time was made famous by the Andrews sisters. Now, it has the following lyrics, and by popular request, unanimous popular request I might add, I will not sing it. The lyrics go, money is the root of all evil. And it's repeated, money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. Won't contaminate myself with it. Take it away, take it away, take it away. Now, the sentiment upon which these words are based is generally assumed to be biblical. Indeed, the words money is the root of all evil do appear in the King James Version of the Bible, and I believe in other versions as well. The only problem is that just like the saying of feeding a cold and starving a fever, there are other words added to this particular saying, because the words money is the root of all evil just are not complete. So today my overall purpose is to draw our attention to the fact that the quotations that are in the public domain are not always accurate, and we need to exercise a great deal of care when we are using these sayings or thinking about them or speaking about them, with particular emphasis on the phrase, money is the root of all evil. Now, this is because Mr. Armstrong was often asked, and indeed the Mail Processing Centre in Pasadena was often asked, if money is the root of all evil. We must not be careless in using commonly accepted sayings and assuming them to be correct. This is because it could lead to all sorts of problems and could well put us on the wrong side of an argument. And by argument, I mean what is commonly accepted as argument. You know, statement one followed by statement two and a conclusion drawn from those two statements. It's part of logic. So, you know, it's argument. That is the traditional argument word. Now, in order that we can be fully aware of what is said in Scripture, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the first epistle to Timothy, and in chapter 6, we will find the words that we are looking for. But as we look for these words, we will see that other words are with this particular phrase that is under discussion. The meaning has been enlarged. The evil is not in money itself, but in the desire for that money. It is true In the true style of Mr. Bowles, I'll ask you to keep your finger in the Bibles here, so that because we'll be coming back to it. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, we read the following. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, the point I want to make here is that money of itself is neither good nor evil. Money can be used for genuine humanitarian programs that will enhance the lives of the beneficiaries. An example of this is the scheme that enables subsistence farmers in Africa to become self-sufficient in water so that they can look after their families and irrigate their land. And from the increased income that the farmers will earn as a result of this water, a small proportion will be reinvested in other water pumps so that other farmers can then do the same and, you know, be an ongoing and self-sustaining program. Now, money can also be used for other purposes, evil purposes, illicit drugs, munitions, terrorism. Money of itself is nothing. It is the use to which money is put, or the uncontrolled desire for money that is either good or evil. The evil comes from the driving force behind its acquisition of money. Is money being obtained or amassed for greed, for gain, for self-gratification? Is the use to which money is to be put, or the uncontrolled desire for money, is that what is going to be the evil? In all probability, that is where the evil is. It is the uncontrolled desire for the money, which is the evil part of it. The evil comes from the driving force behind the acquisition of money. Is the money being obtained or amassed out of greed or gain? There's another saying, and that is, every man has his price. Now, that price is often determined by weakness or by greed. Now, nations have been betrayed for a crust of bread, and Jesus Christ himself was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. All in the lust for money, wealth, or power and prestige. On further investigation about this particular phrase, money is the root of all evil, we would turn to the interlinear Bible. Now, that shows the Strong's Concordance number for each particular word that is used, the word of the original language, and the translation into English. And we will see from this particular translation that the words are slightly different in the interlinear version. And having kept our fingers in the first epistle to Timothy, we'll read once more the words, but taking the words as they appear in the interlinear version. And 1 Timothy 6:10 would read as follows from the interlinear. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some, having lusted after, were seduced from the faith, and they themselves pierced through with many pains. Now, the love of money is not the only root of evil. No, the love of money is a root of evil. But it can often affect the rich as well as the poor. It is the love of money that is one of the number of roots of evil. No doubt we can think of other roots of evil, such as the entertainment industry today, self-gratification, sex, the desire for power and the control of others in empires, both small and world-dominating. The Western world has sunk down into the very depths of depravity, simply in a desire to satiate every deviant desire. It is the overarching, often uncontrolled desire that is so evil. King Solomon recognized this fact, and in the 23rd chapter of the book of Proverbs, we will find the reason why we should beware of certain people. It is down to the way in which people think, in which we think many times. And in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6, we read the following. Eat not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his daintiest meats. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he, but his heart is not with you. Now, it's pretty obvious that, you know, it is what this guy is thinking, what this person is thinking, his motivation, which is wrong. And it is the motivation in the acquisition of money, sometimes, which is wrong. And that is the overarching evil which comes out of it. That is what is the evil is. Now, in conclusion, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, in the present economic climate, one could be excused for thinking about the ABBA song which was made famous, which was Money, 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 It's a Rich Man's World. And let me think of names like Sir Frederick Goodwin, of the failed chief executive of the Royal Bank of Scotland, who oversaw the loss of £28 billion, and now he sits back and draws a pension of £700,000 a year. And we could be excused for agreeing with the Andrew sisters that money is the root of all evil. There are some commentators who believe that present economic conditions have been engineered, and that those who have power and money are seeking even more power and even greater money. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, we read the following. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. It could be agreed that money is the root of all evil. But as I hope I have shown, money is neither good nor evil. It is the love of money that is a root of all kinds of evil. The evil is down to an unrestrained desire for power, prestige, or money, among other uncontrolled desires.